Top 10. Hey guys, welcome back to Japan Top 10. Today is episode 21 of our cultures episode on the podcast, and our topic of the day is none other than a follow-up, a year of COVID-19. But before we continue with the rest of this episode, here are some announcements. We now have an Instagram page. Follow us at japantop_10 for the latest news on the Japanese music industry and much more. Can't believe you forgot that, but yes.
Yes, that's right. You can check us out there. And if you would like to advertise on our podcast, you can market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts. Reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. Find the full details for those advertising costs at jtop10.jp and find out a plan that will work for your company's needs.
That's right. And we're also now on Amazon Music. Search us up over there and give us a listen on our podcast page.
Yes, and lastly, if you are enjoying this Cultures episode, or you would like to enjoy this Cultures episode even more, remember that you can always receive the full version of this episode by becoming a Patreon donor for just a dollar. Our Patreon starts at a dollar. So you will be able to receive this episode without any announcements or interruptions, just our commentary and the music. So, if that interests you, please check out our website at jtop10.jp/club for details.
Thank you so much, Andy. And now we'll be starting this episode. As the world moves past the anniversary of social distancing, super spreader, self-quarantine, isolation, and contact tracing becoming the new normal as we revisit COVID-19 in 2021 and check in with how things are going on around the world and how things are going on in Japan as we continue to grapple with the grips of the pandemic and what we have in store in what is now a hopeful future.
Yes, that is right. So I guess diving right into it, I mean, just before we get into our topics, I wanted to ask Ethel generally, What's going on? How are you feeling?
I feel quite tired. I don't know about our listeners, but 2021 has been fairly tiring, I guess. It's very different from 2020. It kind of feels like 2020 on a stretch.
I would second that 100%. Yeah, it feels like, 2020 New Game Plus. Like, we are getting the extended director's cut of 2020. I definitely feel a lot of the same way. And I hope that we don't come across too tired today, but I also would echo that. I think we all are just feeling a big fatigue, especially like just before recording, we were talking about how we can hardly believe that it's been a year since we first started covering the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah, that's right. I was just, like we said, Andy and I were just prepping for the episode and we were just saying that we couldn't believe it's been a year, because to us it felt like it's just only been like maybe a couple of months since we last caught up with each other to talk about how COVID-19 was impacting the countries that we lived in and the overall situation in Japan.
Yes, exactly. So I think that is a good cue to start our first topic, which would be the kind of current state of COVID in Japan in 2021. So from the very beginning of the pandemic, Japan was seen as at a great risk for COVID-19. With one of the biggest elderly populations in the world, lockdown requests sometimes viewed as timid at best as of a response to the situation, as well as the famous reusable masks sent to every household from our former prime minister. Also, there were theories including natto boosting the immune system and the infamous "this is a pen" test to disprove why COVID had spread so deeply, or rather hadn't spread so much in Japan. So I think there was just so much to unpack even in that first little blip
Wait, Andy, what is this infamous "this is a pentest"?
Oh, have you not heard of this?
No, I've not.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Actually, this is a good thing to bring up because I'm not sure if this had happened last time we had talked about coronavirus and COVID-19 pandemic, but early on or semi-early on in the spread of the pandemic globally, a lot of focus came onto Japan for being kind of like an outlier. I'm sure you probably remember that. But Japanese news stations started trying to explain why or find ways to explain why this was the case that were not clearly really backed up by science or anything. And one of the infamous instances of this happening was a Japanese news channel showing that when speaking Japanese, you don't push out a lot of air out of your mouth. But when speaking in foreign languages like English, saying "this is a pen" produces a lot of air. And they like had this like piece of paper in front of their face to show the difference between someone speaking Japanese and someone speaking English, whether the paper moved or not with their breath, I guess.
Oh my God, I've never heard of this theory that is completely not backed by science and is just sounds so ridiculous. What? Oh God.
Yeah, it was honestly like comedy. I was watching this news segment and just I had such a good laugh because I'm like, there's no way they genuinely believe this. I was having kind of a dissociative moment. My body and spirit were disconnected.
All right. So anyway, how are things looking on a year on in Japan?
Well, I can give a little bit of an insight. We have some facts here that I'll give some of the highlights of the facts and the current situation in Japan, as well as some of my personal account, if that's okay.
Sure.
Yeah, so I mean, compared to other G7 countries, Japan seemed to actually be relatively successful in mitigating the spread of COVID-19. And for me personally, I'm not sure whether that is, you know, actually the steps that they took or the fact that there was not a lot of testing early on, which is something we talked about last year even. And that has never really stopped, from what I understand, that just there was not widespread testing done. But other kind of ways that people have tried to explain or find reasons behind why or why not Japan relatively had less effect, like especially compared to countries like America or England, were like low rates of obesity and heart disease, which don't really have much bearing, but that's something that I know people have tried to use as an explainer, as well as masks being a very common thing, especially during winter and flu season, and even into the spring, for people to protect themselves against hay fever. That is another way that people have kind of said that, you know, masks and whether to wear or not wear a mask has never really been a big problem here. There are still some isolated cases where people get upset about having to wear a mask, but generally speaking, it's kind of more customary to be wearing them anyways. And so that's another point for why maybe Japan didn't see as big of a spread initially. But as I'm sure I can kind of get into a little bit here too now, very recently, we actually have had another wave of cases kind of start up again. And so currently the numbers, total recorded cases over the start of the pandemic to now in Japan is 506,000. And of those, the number that have recovered are 464,000. Unfortunately, the death toll for the COVID pandemic in Japan is just under 10,000 people. But all that said, yeah, there is kind of this fourth wave occurring in Japan, especially in Osaka. Sorry, that was a big jumble of, you know, information and personal anecdote, but just to give kind of a picture from, you know, my perspective of watching the cases kind of slowly but steadily rise after initially quelling the response early on in the pandemic. It's kind of interesting, especially now that I know other countries are having making big strides in vaccine rollouts and things like that. But I guess I do want to also turn the tables. Talking about Japan, I would also like to talk about your situation too, Ethel, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. I guess you could say I actually spent most of 2021 right after the new year. After the first week of January, our entire country went into basically a state of lockdown again that lasted approximately, I would say, about 10-ish weeks, 10-12 weeks. So it was nearly like the entire first quarter of the year was spent on the lockdown again because we had such a big spike in cases in Malaysia. That started, I think, November of last year. We had more clusters, which led to more cases. And now that we've kind of laxed off a bit because the cases dropped or, as you know, became underreported. So there was a slight dip in numbers for the last 2 weeks, I would say, or 3 weeks. But now cases have gone up a little bit. I think there were like 1,700 cases reported just today. So we're a bit scared that a fourth wave might be on the horizon. But yeah, I think compared to most of the world, Malaysia has come out a little bit better in terms of trying to handle the cases during the first round, but the subsequent waves of cases maybe not so much. I think people have just gotten really exhausted by the whole policing of themselves in the new normal, to wear masks, to do this, to do that, with a lot of restrictions here and there. People just really, really want to go back to pre-COVID times. And I think because of that, people do get lax in a lot of the SOPs that have been put in place to ensure that people follow through. But the thing is that if you go to malls constantly, if you go to a lot of enclosed areas constantly, like Malaysia, we have a lot of shopping malls. People like to go to shopping malls as like a recreational activity on the weekend. So most malls tend to just go back up in numbers. And because it's indoors and it's ventilation indoors, which has been scientifically proven that if you stay indoors, and because it's recycled air and ventilation is not that great indoors compared to outdoors, the likelihood of you getting or contracting the disease is much higher. So there's only so much things that they can do. So we're keeping track, I guess, of the numbers of cases coming up now. I think people are starting to go back to work as well. A lot of the new clusters, as of the news today and yesterday have been reported to be at workplaces. So yeah, that's, like I said, enclosed areas, so at offices, all of these. And it's kind of concerning because, yeah, a majority of all the new cases derive from workplaces, either at construction sites or, office buildings. So that's the current situation right now in Malaysia. So, Andy, as we are wrapping up this episode, what are you looking forward to once restrictions for COVID-19 have lifted?
That is a fabulous question. There's so many things that I don't even know where to begin. But I think my number one desire is to finally go to Tokyo. I have not gone to Tokyo in over a year. And I would like to go and have a day out on the town, you know, maybe see some art, go to a gallery, definitely, and then get some delicious food. How about you, Ethel?
For me, because restrictions have eased on and off, I would just like to travel maybe to another state again, just to get out of the city that I'm in. If the country reopens and there's travel in my area, I would just like to go to the next available country. I'm like, Singapore. I don't mind going to Singapore. Thailand, yeah. Vietnam, yeah. We'll see how it goes. I mean, this is like, to me, it's just aspirational. So baby steps, just like, let me go to the next state out of the Klang Valley. And that would be nice. Like, go to an island. I don't know. Go to the beach.
Definitely.
Sounds like a great idea.
I am right there with you. I think baby steps. It's good to dream. We can dream big and then aim for the small things, like small travels outside of our city, slowly but surely, once we are safe to do so. I want to ask one thing. Is there anything that you would like to continue about life in lockdown once everything is back to normal?
I would like the flexibility of working from home and working from the office. I like to be given the option. I think that would be really good. And I would really like to continue making bookings online for certain things, like hospital appointments, any kind of appointments. Yeah. E-wallets, stay. Please stay. I would love for e-wallets to just stay forever.
I'm no expert, but I feel like that's one thing that will definitely continue. It seems to have picked up a lot of speed here in Japan too. As for me, I think I would like to continue to have everyone wear masks all the
time. Really? All the time? I mean, if you're sick, yes.
Okay, not all
if
the you're time, sick, but yes. I am someone who wears a mask, even especially here, well, exclusively here in Japan, almost year round, and I have for a long time. And I found that I just was not getting sick even prior to COVID-19. So I love having a mask when I'm out in public, especially like on the train here in Japan.
Makes sense. Well, that's interesting. So anyway, guys, thank you for tuning in to me and Andy discuss our 1 year anniversary since COVID-19 lockdowns in our respective countries. For our next episode, for our patron star and platinum donors, our sister podcast host Sunny from K-Top 10 joins us for an exclusive Top 10 episode at the end of April, which is basically a week from now. For everyone else, myself and I will join you for a brand new Artist of the Month in May, which we'll be looking at none other than the great musician Ryuichi Sakamoto.
I am so excited for that, and I hope all of you are too. If I'm sure everyone listening to this is acquainted with Ryuichi Sakamoto, but I am very excited to hear you and I talk about that.
You and I. We have a host called I. Oh.
Yes, you and I, not me. Perfect.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in.
Yes, and stay safe.
This is Ethel.
And this is Andy.
Yep, stay safe and take care of yourselves.
Yes, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye.
Bye. Japan Top 10.